Love it. Thank you so much, John. That was awesome. Yay.
Hey.
So our topic today is the whole thing. And when I came up with this title, the first thing I thought of was, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. Do you guys remember that? Was that? That was like in the Alka-Seltzer, yeah, from the 70s or something. I mean, that's something catchy. If it stays with you, like, what, 30, 40 years later? What? Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, the idea is that we are the whole thing. And how do we conceptualize that? We are whole, complete, and perfect, yet here we are in these human bodies, and we feel flawed at times. We feel lost. We feel like we're not enough or we're too much. We feel like, well, when this happens, then I'll be happy. Or when that happens, then I'll be successful. And we forget about the whole thing that's right here, right now, right in front of us. Vedanta says that, you know, we spend our whole human lives trying to become whole. And Vedanta whispers to us gently, you already are. You already are. So let's look at, we actually have three bodies. I know we have this physical body. That's the first body we have, is we have this physical body. And the physical body experiences the world through the five senses. There's seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, right? And is this the whole thing? No, this isn't the whole thing. We sometimes think it's the whole thing because this is what we experience. But we need to realize that this physical body is just the first layer of who we are. It's a costume. It's a meat suit. It's a vehicle, so to speak, to help us navigate the physical world. We're a physical body in the physical world. And so rather than thinking I am a body, it's more like I have a body. I am not just the body. For example, just because the body ages doesn't mean I age. Just because the body feels unwell doesn't mean I am unwell. That I is the sacred I, that it's all the same I. The second body we have is the subtle body. And the subtle body is where life feels personal. This is including our thoughts, our emotions, our desires, our memory, our personality, our will, and our imagination. And this is where we think, oh, I'm afraid, I'm failing, I'm lost. Is this all there is? Is this all there is to life? And no, the answer is no. We could get a PhD, and that doesn't make us enlightened. That doesn't make us awakened. We could get $1 million or $1 billion. We have to, there's inflation these days. We need $1 billion to think, am I rich? No, that does not make you rich. That does not make you whole. You could think on Instagram, Facebook, I have 1 million followers. Does that make you whole, rich, popular, anything? No, that's nothing. Vedanta says none of that is real and none of that is truth. None of that is the deepest truth about who you are. Vedanta says these experiences are real. We don't deny these experiences, but they just aren't the deepest truth about you. You are not that. Okay? Okay, and then we have our causal body. This is the origin of the subtle body. This is what is called the seed state. And this is the deepest layer of ignorance, the place where all of our tendencies impressions. In Sanskrit, it's called samskaras. That's what gets us into these habits. That's what gets us caught into karma. And this is the potential that exists before they become our thoughts and actions. There's something that triggers our thoughts and actions. So they're habits. And our when we are in deep sleep, and this happens to all of us, we get into deep sleep where there's no thoughts, we're in that dreamless state, then there is no identity, right? You don't feel who you are. There's no thought, there's no worry, yet you know you still exist. You wake up in the morning and you thought, oh, I had that good night's sleep. Well, who was that I? Who is that that you were in the dream state? And that's the question we need to ask ourselves. Who is that? And that is the doorway that Vedanta points us to that shows us who we really are. Spiritual practices, like Pamela shared with us some of her spiritual practices, help us to remember that. So some of the spiritual practices like meditation, you know, focus, quietude, nature, prayer, faith, where we can feel our connection, where we can feel our alignment with the divine, helps us to remove the doubts and the fears and the judgments that keep us from recognizing the wholeness that is already present. The example that's used a lot is the sun, the analogy of the sun. The sun is always in the sky, right? But sometimes we can't see it because there's clouds in front of it. Sometimes we can't see it because it's nighttime and it's on the other side of the globe. Sometimes we can't see it because the weather, you know, the rain or the thunder or whatever is in the sky blocking it. But that doesn't mean it's not there. We have grown as human beings where we understand the science behind it. We're not little children where it's nighttime and we're like scared. Oh, where did the sun go? It's dark. The sun is never coming back. No, we know and we have faith in that sun. And this is where our wholeness comes in. We are like the sun, but our fears, our doubts, our judgments about ourselves block that reality, and we need to remove them through spiritual practices. So the other day I was at Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf in Westlake Village, hanging out, you know, just having my caramel latte, and I saw this woman, and she's talking on the phone, and she's blah 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 talking to her friend. She's laughing, she's having a good time, and all of a sudden she stopped and she's like, oh, wait. And she starts looking through her purse and she's saying to her friend, just hold on, hold on. And she starts looking through her purse. She started looking around the table, looking down, looking, feeling her pockets. And she says, oh, I thought I lost my phone. You know what? I've done that. Like, I think all of us at some point, we're just not thinking, right? It's like the story of the lady who's like, I lost my necklace. Where's my beautiful necklace? I have to find it. She's looking high and low. And then finally she looks in the mirror and she's like, oh, there it is. I'm wearing it. Or, you know, having your glasses on top of your head. This is what we forget who we are, but it's right there in front of us. We're living it every single day. Wholeness is like that. We search everywhere. We think it's in our accomplishments. It's in our relationships. It's in our possessions. It's in, you know, the approval of other people. That's going to make us whole. And, you know, even in spirituality, we could think, oh, if I'm just spiritual enough, if I just pray enough, that'll make me whole. Doesn't work that way. You are already that. You are the whole thing. You're it. This is it. There's nothing you need to find. There's a Sufi story I just heard recently. This is really beautiful. It's called The Moth and the Flies. So there was a kingdom where the moth was the king, and there were moths and flies in the whole kingdom. And the flies thought, you know what? Why are we called flies? We have wings. We're just like the moths. There's nothing different about us. I'm going to go to the king, and I'm going to appeal to him and say we should all just be called moths. So he went to the moth king, and he says, oh, well, you know, you make a good case for yourself. Let's just see. It's to be decided. Do you know the difference between moths and flies? There is no difference. There is no difference. We all have wings. We all fly. There's no difference. He said, the difference is the moths are looking for the light. And the fly said, oh, we can do that. We can go look for the light. And he says, okay, then why don't you go look for the light? And then, you know, we'll see. We'll see. It's to be decided. So the flies are like, okay, we're going out there. We're going looking for the light. And they looked everywhere. They looked all over the town, all over, all over, all over. And they're like, this is too easy. This is just too easy. And they came, after a long day of looking for the light, they came back to the Moth King. And the Moth King says, oh, okay, so what are you doing here? And they said, well, you told us to go look for the light. We looked for light. And he's like, did you find it? Yeah, we found it everywhere. We found it everywhere, in the stores, in the streets, in the park, in the lamps. We saw the light everywhere. And the Moth King said, well, then why did you come back? Do you notice that the moths didn't come back? And the fly looks at him like, what are you talking about? He goes, when you find the light, this is the difference between the flies and the moths. When you find the light, you're so attracted to it, you're so enamored with it, that that is where you stay. You stay in the light. You don't come home bragging, hey, I found the light. I found the light, you know, and that's your ego talking. He said, did you notice that the moths didn't come back? The moths are out there in the light, enjoying the beauty, having a good time. And here you are arguing with me that you should be a moth. It's already been decided. Yeah. So I thought that was an interesting way to put it, that when you see the light, that is where you stay. That light doesn't go out. You realize that light is shining within you. It's right there making you whole. And you're like grateful and immersed in it. And it's beautiful. Yesterday was the 4th of July, a day of freedom, a day to celebrate freedom. And at the Vedanta Society, they also celebrate Vivekananda, Swami Vivekananda. Swami Vivekananda is the one who went from India to the United States, attended the Parliament of World's Religion. He brought Hinduism to the United States, and he has such a charismatic personality that people were truly taken with him. And his talk in Chicago started with, "Sisters and brothers of America." And that's how he saw everybody, as sisters and brothers to him. And people were just enamored with him, and they hung on every word. And one of the famous things that Vivekananda said all the time, and people often attribute this quote to him, but he was actually quoting from the Katha Upanishad, was, "Arise, awake, and stop not until the goal is reached." He said that so many times. And what is that goal? that goal is freedom. Freedom from the cycle of birth and death is the ultimate to it, right? But in America in 1776, what we celebrate is our freedom of speech, our freedom to gather, our freedom for the pursuit of happiness. It's freedom is our true nature. And freedom is knowing that we are enough, we are whole. Individually and as a unified unit. So Vivekananda really admired America, and he felt that because of our love in political freedom, that that could blossom into a love for spiritual freedom as well. He had a lot of faith in America. Oh, I don't know what he would say or do now, but I would think that he would be a very needed leader right now. So when we talk about the three bodies that we have, the physical, the subtle or emotional, and the causal or spiritual, physical freedom, this is our independence. This is our freedom to worship, to speak, to choose. Then there's our emotional freedom. And we want to be free from fear, free from resentment, free from needing anybody's approval, free to be ourselves, right? That's so important. And then spiritual freedom is freedom from the mistaken belief that I am small, I am limited. Because you're absolutely the opposite. Freedom from the belief that I'm not enough or I'm too much. You're just the right amount. You are you for a very specific reason. And freedom from thinking that I am not only this body. I am not only this personality. I know my true nature is that I am that. All that is, I am that. So for Vivekananda, freedom was the highest goal of life. And in 1902, in India, after a full day of teaching and meditating and studying, on July 4th, 1902, he consciously left his body. And that's why in Vedanta we celebrate the July 4th as a day of freedom, because it's very significant. There's no coincidences in life that Vivekananda chose this day when we celebrate freedom and honor freedom so much to leave his body, to ultimately become free from the physical body. So the goal of freedom is not to become somebody else, not to become perfect, or to become worthy. It's awakening to the freedom and wholeness that have been ours all along. So let's look within and say this prayer. May we celebrate not only the freedom of a nation, but the freedom of the soul. May we remember that beyond every role we play, beyond every success and every failure, beyond every joy and every sorrow, there is something within us that has never been broken, never been diminished, never been incomplete. That is our true nature. That is the whole thing. Show me where I need to go. Tell me what I need to know. Give me the seeds I need to sow. Thank you for this chance to grow. And so it is. Om Tat Sat. Amen.